إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، الحديث 86 بعد 100 من تيسير العلام في شرح عمدة الأحكام. We continue reading the explanation of the ahadith of عمدة الأحكام in the section of fasting from تيسير العلام by the Sheikh عبد الله البسام رحمه الله تعالى. The Hadith 186. عن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت كان يكون علي الصوم في رمضان فما أستطيع أن أقضي إلا في شعبان. عائشة رضي الله عنها أم المؤمنين. She said she has to make up some days. She have to make up days from the previous Ramadan, and she couldn't make it up until in Sha'ban, and we know Sha'ban is the month that is right before Ramadan. تذكر عائشة رضي الله عنها أنه يكون عليها الصوم قضاء من رمضان. Here Aisha, the mother of the believers, one of the wives of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she mentioned here that she has to make up some days from Ramadan. And you know there is different reasons for people to make up days that they didn't fast in Ramadan. Sometimes from these reasons, sickness, somebody who is sick, not permanent illness, somebody who just got sick in Ramadan or before Ramadan. Those people, they break the fast, but they have to make up those days when they feel better. Another reason, the traveler. If somebody was traveling on a journey and they break the fast, they didn't fast, then they make up that day or those days. Likewise, the women on their menses. The woman on their menstrual cycle, they do not fast, but they have to make up the days, 3 days, 7, 8, 6, more or less. Of course, the ulama, they says, if anyone has to make up any days, the sooner the better. They have until the next Ramadan, meaning they have to do it by Sha'ban. When Sha'ban come to an end, they should finish. But it's better for those people to do it immediately. The sooner the better, not on the Eid. It's not permissible to fast on the Eid, but immediately after that, if they have the ability to do it, they should do it immediately. But Aisha radiallahu anha, she couldn't make up those days until in Sha'ban. Why? Sheikh is going to mention. قال وَلِمَحَبَّةِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لَهَا وَحُسْنِ أَدَبِهَا فِي مُرَاعَاتِهِ وَمُعَاشَرَتِهِ تُؤَخِّرُ سِيَامَهَا إِلَى شَعْبَانِ. Now he's giving us the reason, as the ulama, they give the reasons as well, why Aisha radiallahu anha delay making up those days until Sha'ban. She could do it in Shawwal, Dhul Qa'dah, Dhul Hijjah, Muharram, Safar, Rabi' al-Awwal, Rabi' al-Thani, Jumad al-Awwal, Jumad al-Akhira, Rajab. No. She wait until Sha'ban. The Shaykh mentioned that the Prophet ﷺ loved her very much. And because of her having good manners, and she knows that the Prophet ﷺ loved her very much, and being a good wife, she don't make up those days, and she waits. She delay until Sha'ban. Why Sha'ban? Somebody know? No. أحسنت. هو كذلك لأنه صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يكثر الصيام فيه فيعلم ذلك ويقر عليه. Because the Prophet ﷺ, he used to fast a lot in Sha'ban. And of course, while he's fasting, mashallah, she can fast too. But if he's not fasting, she don't fast to make herself available for her husband. Allahu Akbar. The Prophet ﷺ, he used to fast a lot in Sha'ban. That's why she delays for these two reasons. Number one, because she knows the Prophet ﷺ loves her very much and she makes herself available for him whenever he wants to. And she chooses Sha'ban because the Prophet ﷺ be fasting on many days of Sha'ban. And the Prophet ﷺ, he knew this and he approved to her choice and to her action. ما يؤخذ من الحديث أولا جواز تأخير قضاء رمضان إلى شعبان مع العذر. جواز تأخير قضاء رمضان إلى شعبان مع العذر. It is permissible to delay making up any days from Ramadan until شعبان, until the next شعبان, from the next year of course, because Ramadan comes after شعبان. So when we say to delay until Sha'ban, meaning Sha'ban of the following year. If a person have a reason to do so. ثانيا أن الأفضل التعجيل مع غير العذر. فعائشة رضي الله عنها قد بينت عذرها في ذلك. What is better to do is to make up these days as soon as possible for those who have no valid excuses. Aisha radiallahu anha, she presented her excuse. She presented her excuse why she delayed the making up of those days until Sha'ban. Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen and others from our noble scholars, they mention some valid reasons for delaying. Somebody sick. Somebody was sick and couldn't fast, inshallah, and they delay. But the better is that the people, whoever has to make up any days from Ramadan, they have to do it as soon as possible. ثالثا أنه لا يجوز تأخير القضاء إلى رمضان التالي. The Sheikh, he said that it's not permissible to delay making up any days until after the next Ramadan. Because of course, if somebody has to make up 3 days and Ramadan come, the new Ramadan come, they're not going to make up those days because now they have to fast Ramadan. Which means they're going to make up those days until the new Ramadan comes. Sheikh says, no, you don't do this, you don't delay. واختلف العلماء في وجوب الكفارة مع التأخير إلى دخول رمضان الآخر. The ulama, they differ now. If someone delay the making up of any days that they have to make up from Ramadan until the next one comes in, now, because some of the people of knowledge, they say, along with making up these days, after the new Ramadan, they have to expiate for that too. Feed a poor person for each day. There is an expiation. The ulama, they differ. Some they said they do it, some they said no. ومذهب الحنابلة أن عليه الكفارة إذا أخر لغير عذر. The madhab of the Hanabila, the Hanbali fiqh of thought, follow the fiqh of Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, Ahmad ibn Hanbal, they are on the opinion that if a person delay, meaning that a person have to make up some days from Ramadan, but they didn't make them up until the next Ramadan comes in, now, he says, they have expiation with that. They fast after Ramadan, make up those same days, but they expiate if they don't have an excuse. If they delay it, without excuse. رابعا حسن عشرة عائشة رضي الله عنها رزق الله نساء القدوة بها. He says also another benefit from this hadith, the good manners of Aisha radiallahu anha with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, being a wife, being good to her husband, and she do what pleases him, even though she wants to make up the fast immediately, but she knows the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam enjoy her and he love her very much, so she make herself available for him, and she wait until when he's busy with ibadah, because she know him, he fasts a lot in Sha'ban, that's when she make up her days. And then the Shaykh says, may Allah make our wives follow her example. Ameen. Al-Hadith 87 بعد المئة, the Hadith 187, عن عائشة رضي الله عنها أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من مات وعليه صيام صام عنه وليه, وأخرجه أبو داود وقال هذا في النذر خاصة وهو قول أحمد بن حنبل رحمه الله. Now from this hadith on, it's going to be about if somebody die while they have some days to make up. They have some days to make up from Ramadan. They didn't make those days and they die. Can anyone from their family fast on their behalf? Here, this hadith, the first hadith, Hadith 187 in Umdat al-Ahkam, on the authority of Aisha radiallahu anha, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, whoever died while have to make up some days for fasting, his wali fast for him on his behalf. It was collected by Abu Dawood, and he says this is also pertaining to another oath, those who took an oath to fast especially. And it is a statement, he said, it is a statement of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah. Al-Ma'na al-Ijmali, the general meaning of this hadith, قال الشيخ رحمه الله الديون التي على الأموات يجب قضاؤها سواء أكانت لله تعالى كالزكاة والصيام أم للآدميين كالديون المالية. He says ديون, this is جمع دين, debts, D-E-B-T-S, debts. When somebody die and left debts, there are debts on them. He says they have to be paid off on their behalf. They have to be paid off on their behalf. Whether those debts are related to the rights of Allah, such as zakat, somebody died before he gave out the zakat, or fasting, somebody died before they make up some days from fasting, or those rights are the rights of the human being, such as he borrowed money from somebody, was in business with somebody, and the like. وَأَوْلَى مَنْ يَتَوَلَّ ذَٰلِكَ وَرَثَتُهُمْ. وَلِذَٰلِكَ قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ مَنْ مَاتَ وَعَلَيْهِ صِيَامٌ سَمَعَ عَنْهُ وَلِيُّهُ. He says, and the people who are the first to, you know, to do this are the waratha, the heirs, the inheritors. The inheritors of the deceased, they're the one that's upon them to pay the debts of the deceased. He says, for this reason, the Prophet ﷺ, he says, whoever died while he has some fasting to make up, which they didn't, he says, their wali, one of the inheritors, they do that on their behalf. ما يؤخذ من الحديث, some of the benefits of this hadith. أولا, ظاهر الحديث وجوب قضاء الصيام عن الميت سواء أكان نذرا أم واجبا بأصل الشرع خلافا لتقييد أبي داود. وذكر ابن دقيق العيد أن إلحاق غير الصوم به هو من باب القياس وليس في هذا الحديث نص عليه. Sheikh, he says that the apparent meaning of this hadith, he said that it is obligatory to make up the fast on behalf of the deceased. If somebody died, while they still upon them to make up some days from Ramadan and the like, an obligatory fast, that it is incumbent upon certain people to do that. He says whether it is an oath or an obligation, not just an oath, as Abu Dawood mentioned that. Abu Dawood restricted to the oath. If somebody take an oath or make an oath to fast certain days and died, now he said this is general in all fasts. Whether it is an oath or whether it is an obligatory fast. ثانيا أن الذي يتولى الصيام هو وليه والمراد به الوارث الذي انتفع بمخلفاته فمن مقتضى القيام بمواجبه قضاء ديون الله عنه. He says number two, that the one who should fast on his behalf is his wali. And what is intended by his wali here is the heirs, the inheritors. Since they're the one, he says, they're going to benefit from what he has left behind. They're the one they're going to divide the money, if he left any money, properties and the like. So they're the one that take on that responsibility. ثم ذكر الشيخ اختلاف العلماء. He mentioned the difference of opinions, actually, of the ulama, as related to if somebody died while he has some fasting to pay or to make up, can others fast on his behalf or no? Or not? Three opinions. With three opinions. Somebody died and they still have to make up some days or maybe some months of Ramadan. Some months, maybe 2 months. They didn't fast 2 years because they were sick or something, whatever the case is. Or a couple of days or 1 day even. Can his family members fast on his behalf or on her behalf or not? Three opinions. الأول لا يقضى عنه بحال لا في النذر ولا في الواجب بأصل الشرع. He says the first opinion, no, it is not to be made up. You don't fast on behalf of the deceased, whether that debt he left behind is an oath or Ramadan or any obligatory fast. وهذا مذهب أبي حنيفة ومالك والشافعي في الجديد. Says, and this is the madhab and the opinion of Abu Hanifa, Malik and al-Shafi'i in his newest opinion. So he has two. He has an old one and a new one in his new opinion. الثاني, the second opinion, يصام عنه النذر دون الواجب بأصل الشرع. That the second opinion, a group of scholars, they say what to be made on his behalf is the fast of an oath, not that which is obligatory like Ramadan. وهذا مذهب إمام أحمد. This is the opinion on the madhab of Imam Ahmad, Abu Ubaid, Al-Layth, Ishaq, ونصره ابن القيم. And this is was supported by Ibn al-Qayyim, رحمهم الله. الثالث أنه يصام عنه عن الميت النذر والواجب بأصل الشرع. That the third opinion is both to be made up and fast on his behalf, whether that person who died left behind a debt pertaining to an oath. They make an oath to fast some day or some days they didn't do it, or an obligatory act of fast was related to Ramadan and the like. وهذا قول أبي ثور وأصحاب الحديث ونصره ابن حزم and he was supported by Ibn Hazm. ورد قول من خالفه وجماعة من محدث الشافعية وهو قول الشافعي في القديم وعلق القول به على صحة الحديث. And this is one of the this is the what there was the opinion of Imam al-Shafi'i, the oldest one. قال البيهقي رحمه الله ولو وقف الشافعي على جميع طرق الأحاديث وتظاهرها لم يخالف إن شاء الله. البيهقي says if الشافعي study all of the routes of the ahadith, all of them together, he would not oppose them, inshaAllah. واختار هذا القول شيخنا عبد الرحمن السعدي وقال إنه اختيار شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية في جميع الديون على الميت لله أو للآدميين أوجبها على نفسه أو وجبت بأصل الشرع. And this last opinion, it was the opinion, he says, of our Shaykh عبد الرحمن بن سعدي. Because Sheikh Al-Bassam, he was one of the students of Ibn Sa'di, along with Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, and others, like Sheikh Abdul Aziz Al-Aqil, Sheikh Abdullah Al-Aqil, rahimahullah, who just died recently, rahimahullah. He said this is the opinion that was chosen by Imam Ibn Sa'di, rahimahullah, and also who said that this is the choice of Sheikh Al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah. That all of the duyun, all the debts of the deceased has to be made up. Whether they are for Allah, the rights of Allah, or the rights of the human being. Sheikh mentioned the Adilla and this. We're going to skip that, inshallah ta'ala. We continue reading the Hadith. الحديث 88 بعد المئة الحديث 188 عن عبد الله بن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال جاء رجل إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال يا رسول الله إن أمي ماتت وعليها صوم شهر أفأقضيه عنها؟ قال أي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لو كان على أمك دين أكنت قاضيه عنها؟ قال نعم. قال فدين الله أحق أن يقضى. وفي رواية جاءت امرأة إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقالت يا رسول الله إن أمي ماتت وعليها صوم نذر أفأصوم عنها؟ قال أفرأيت لو كان على أمك دين فقضيته أكان يؤدي ذلك عنها؟ قالت نعم. قال فصومي عن أمك. And the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما who said a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, O Messenger of Allah, my mother died while she has to make up a whole month. Shall I fast on her behalf? Shall I fast a month on her behalf? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says to him, if your mother died while she has a debt, like financial debt on her, would you pay that debt? The man said yes. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, the debt of Allah is more worthy to be paid off. Okay? So this is the haqqullah, the debt, because the fasting of the month of Ramadan. In a narration, a woman came to the Prophet ﷺ. A woman, not a man. In the first one, a man came. In this one, a woman came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, O Messenger of Allah, my mother died. And she had an oath that she should fast. But she died before she fulfilled that oath and fast. Shall I fast on her behalf? Prophet ﷺ told her, do you see if your mother left a debt, has a debt, when she died there is a debt on her. Would you pay that off on behalf of your mother? And when you do it, when you do that, that will pay for her? She said yes. He said, so fast on behalf of your mother. So fast on behalf of your mother. قال الشيخ رحمه الله وقع في هذا الحديث روايتان، والظاهر من السياق أنهما واقعتان لا واقعة واحدة. So in this hadith there is two narrations, and we understood, he says, just from the context of this narration, that there are two different incidents, not just one. Two different incidents, not one. فالأولى, the first incident, أن رجلا جاء إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فأخبره أن أمه ماتت وعليها صوم شهر فهل يقضيها عنها. The first incident that a man came to the messenger, to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and informed him about the death of his mother, meaning the death of the man's mother. And when she died, she already had 1 month to make up. She had one month that she didn't make up, she didn't fast. And he asked the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he wants to know, can he fast on behalf of her? Can he fast that month on behalf of his mother, who died before she fasted that month? والرواية الثانية أن امرأة جاءت إليه صلى الله عليه وسلم فأخبرته أن أمها ماتت وعليها صوم نذر فهل تصوم عنها. The second incident is that a woman came to him sallallahu alayhi wasallam and informed him of the death of her mother. While not fasting and making up for an oath. And she asked, can she fast on behalf of her mother? فأفتاهما جميعا بقضاء ما على والديهما من الصوم. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم gave them the same fatwa, both of them, to make up that which their two mothers couldn't do while they still alive. ثم ضرب لهما مثلا يقرب لهما المعنى ويزيد في التوضيح. Not only the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم gave them the answer, but he set for them an example to make it very clear to them. He said, what was the example the Prophet ﷺ set for them? Anybody? Naam?
He said if the mother owed a debt, would they
pay? Naam. If your mother died while there is a debt on her, she owe money or something to someone, would you pay it on her behalf? They said yes. Said likewise fast. قال فإذا كان دين الآدمي يقضى فدين الله أحق بالقضاء. Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said for them that example, if they owe some money, for example, to a human being, and they say, both of them, yes, I will pay it off. He says, well, what about the debt that they have for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is the fasting. It is more so. ما يؤخذ من الحديث, what is some of the benefits from this hadith? يقول الشيخ رحمه الله, أولا, عموم الرواية الأولى تفيد أن الصيام يقضى عن الميت سواء كان نذرا أم واجبا أصليا. He says, we take from the first incident and first narration that fasting is to be made off on behalf of the deceased, whether it is an oath or whether an obligatory fast. That's in the first one. الثانية تدل على قضاء الصيام المنذور عن الميت. The benefit number two, he says, that the second narration here about the woman who came to the Prophet ﷺ, we benefit from it that to make up the fast related to an oath. Okay? In the first one, both. The second one, specific to the oath. ثالثا الظاهر أنهما واقعتان لرجل وامرأة فتبقى كل منهما على مدلولها ولا تقيد الأولى بالثانية بل تبقى على عمومها. He says it is apparent that these are two different incidents. One related to the man, the other one pertaining to the woman who came and asked the Prophet ﷺ. So both of them stay on their apparent meanings. And the first one should not be restricted by the second one. Meaning that no one will say, look, now only the oath. Why? Said, look, because the first, it was general, but this one is only about the oath. So now we got to restrict it to the oath. No. He says, because there are two different incidents. Number four, عموم التعليل الذي في الحديث يشمل الديون التي لله والتي للخلق والواجب بنذر والواجب بأصل الشرع لأنها كلها تقضى عن الميت. وهذا ما حكاه شيخنا عبد الرحمن السعدي عن تقي الدين بن تيمية رحمه الله. It says, likewise, we take from this hadith that the debts that to be paid are all of the debts. If a deceased, if a person died and left behind debts, they are to be paid on their behalf, whether those who are for Allah or those who are for the creation, whether those they are oath or those who are obligatory debts. All of them are to be made, made up on behalf of the deceased. He said this is what was mentioned by our Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Saadi, who transmitted this from Taqi al-Din. Mentioned that this is the opinion and the choice of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. خامسا فيه إثبات القياس الذي هو أحد أصول الجمهور في الاستدلال وقد ضرب لهم النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام المثل بما هو معهود لهما ليكون الفهم أبلغ وليقربه من أذهانهما فإنه تشبيه البعيد بالقريب يسهل إدراكه وفهمه. He said also this hadith, this narration affirm and establish قياس analogy, which is one of the principles of the جمهور of the علماء. That they use it in istidlal as a proof, and the Prophet ﷺ has set for them an example, but he mentioned an example that they understand, both of them, so that the matter become clear to them, because he says through certain examples after giving the people the answer, and some people you give them an example to break it down for them. Some people it may be difficult for them to understand the answer, so you give an example. And that's why you find our noble scholars, they do that. From them, Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, he's known with this. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, when he break down the matter, and he bring the ayat, the ahadith, the statement of the ulama, and then if he sees that the crowd in front of him, some of them or many of them are like, well, I don't know. He's seeing their faces are like, still like trying to get it. The Shaykh, he give an example and break it down for them for an example. And that's good, because the reason is that the people, they understand. They understand. Not that the deen be established an example, that person just come sit down and start talking about examples. No. Examples are just there to break something down for the people to make it easy for them. And you see, this is asl. The Prophet ﷺ used to do this. He gave them the answer, but then he gave them an example that helped them to understand the answer. Okay? Sadisan. قوله فدين الله أحق بالقضاء فيه دليل على تقديم الزكاة وحقوق الله المالية إذا تزاحمت حقوقه وحقوق الآدميين في تركة المتوفى وبعضهم قال بالمساواة بين الحقوق. He said in the statement of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that the debt that is due for Allah has priority to be paid. He says Ulama, some of the people, the knowledge they take from this, that there is a proof that that zakat and all the rights, financial rights, has to be taken, given precedence. If, for example, the Shaykh he mentioned, if somebody died and he has zakat that he didn't pay, has to be paid. That's the rights of Allah. And also he owes some money to other people. So the ulama, he says you gotta pay the zakat first. And if something left, you take care of the other things. Other ulama, he says no, you have to bring a harmony between the two and pay both of them. Okay? And of course we have an ayah in the Quran that when somebody dies, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says min ba'di wasiyatun yusi biha aw deen, that when somebody dies, the family, and especially those who have the right to inherit, not all the families may inherit, okay? Some of them they be family but they are not that close, okay, or because of the presence of some members of the family, others they cannot inherit. This is another science to itself. Science of inheritance and ilm al-fara'id. So those who have the right in the tariqa, in that which this deceased person has left, whether he was a father or he was a husband, or she was a wife, or a mother, or grand, whatever it is, or a child, a son that died and he left behind a father and mother, and okay? This is a science to itself. And we should know these signs. So those people, they are not just going to sit and divide all the property. No, they have to look at two things. Wasiya and deen. If this person left a will, they look at his will and he says, look, I want you to give $2 million from my property in sadaqah to so and so. And he even mentioned the person, or he mentioned the whoever. So now the ulama, they say that before they divide, they look at the percentage. What that 2 million he mentioned, for example, to be given sadaqah, what percentage from what he has left behind? If he left 2 million, they will give 2 million to the people? No, they don't. Because the Prophet ﷺ says the wasiyya, the testament, should not exceed the third. Should not exceed the third. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahmat Allah says, so even if somebody says, give all my money, but he has left people behind, they take the third of it and give it to that person. And the two-thirds, they split it behind between them. Okay? Because the Prophet ﷺ said to one of the companions, the third, because he wants to give more than that, he says the third, and even the third is more than enough, is a lot. That's the wasiyah. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen also, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned, what if this man, he gave the wasiyah, he left the wasiyah for more than one person, let's say 4 people. Give this guy 100,000 and give this guy 200, this guy 50. Now what they do? They gather all of those, and if they are less or equal to the third, they give them what he said. You see? But if when they gather all of the wasiyah and it exceeds and is more than the third, what they do? Now they look at the percentage of each one. Where is the third of each one of them? And give it to him. As long as it's like math. The one who studied this science, he has to be not excellent in math, but he needs to know some math. Alright? And nisbah. What is nisbah in English? Like the percentage or something?
Division.
Huh? Nah, not division. Nisba. Like relative. Maybe, whatever. Meaning, like, for example, forget about the example. I'm giving math now. You agree with me? Now, so you get the idea. Even if a person left $100,000, all right? But he says, look, what is the third? Let's say he left $120,000. We make it easy. What is the third of 120? 40. All right. But he left, when they look at the will, he's like, okay, give such and such 20,000. Okay? And give such and such 15. How much now?
35.
Huh? 35. And give this one 10. How much is that? 45. That's more than the third. What they do now? They're not going to give 20 and 15, and the one who has 10, they give him only 5. He says, look, man, that's all we have. No, that person who have 20, he will get less. The third,
he get the same percentage.
He get same percentage from 40. What is that now?
It's half. So instead of 45.
See, that's math. That's math now.
Two thirds.
Do it at home. Now we're gonna. I give you the idea. Give me the answer tomorrow. Those who wants to figure out, give me the answer. Okay? If that person says, look, three people, this guy get 20, this guy get 10, this guy get 10. We have a problem here? We don't have a problem?
No.
No, we don't have a problem. 40, 40, that's it. Because that's the correct. Third of what he left is 40.
That's correct.
They all gonna get, this guy gonna get 20, this one get 10, this one get what? 10. But now he says, this one get 20.
And so this everybody one gets get what they do. Everybody gets what they do.
All right.
20.
This 10, one get 20. 10. No, they're not going to get what they want. This one get 20. This one get 15. That's 35. This one get 10. That's 45. Right. Now 45 is more than the third. The one who's supposed to get 20, he's not going to get 20. He's going to get less. And the one who's supposed to get 15, he's not going to get 15. He's supposed to get less. And the one who's supposed to get 10, he's not going to get 10. He's going to get less. So how much the one who's supposed to get 20 supposed to get, and the one who's supposed to get 15 supposed to get, and the one who's supposed to get 10, so that when you add them, they give you 40. That's the math. You got it already? How much? 18?
For the 20?
Uh-huh.
So it'd be
20
divided by
45. Uh-huh.
Times 40.
Uh-huh.
Times 1,000.
Uh-huh. And how much is that? You give that to them? All right, look. Listen, the way you know it is correct, when you add them. You add them, they're going to be 240. Yeah. All right, now right now, just pay attention. We're going to continue in the hadith. But if somebody wants to do this, do it at home, okay? طيب اي نعم ها اي نعم I don't know the answers, so don't you think ask me after Salat. I don't know. I will try to find out myself, figure out, but not now. We're going to continue with the class inshallah. I'm just giving you a glimpse of this science. And also this science of tariqa is amazing. It's amazing. They say to you, for example, because first of all you need to know the rights that Allah has made for the father, for the mother. Okay? If a child died and he left behind a mother and a father and a wife and two children, one boy, one girl, and three uncles, and 65 cousins, and two neighbors. Neighbors, you know. I just want to put that there. All right? Now, who from all of these people has the right to inheritance? and how much each one gets. I know. Hey, subhanAllah, it's amazing. No, it's okay.
You got a resource.
Huh?
One who gets 20, will get 4%.
Amen. You back to the 20?
The one who gets 10, will get 2%.
Inshallah. Tayyib. So these signs of inheritance, who they going to get, because even those who they get half, Allah says they get half if there is no children. If there is children, they get the quarter. Those who they give 1/8 with no children, but if there is children involved, they get only the, and this and that. And that. Okay?
Yeah, for like a half a year. The class of Prague, Imam Khalifa taught it for like a half a year.
All right, alhamdulillah. He said, Imam Khalifa did this class with you guys.
Yeah.
Just have to refresh. Tayyib, inshallah. Yes, Abdurrahman.
No, I was just thinking about that. This is written in the Kitab. You would have to know exactly.
Right now, look.
No.
First, it's in the books of fiqh. We're going to get to it later on.
No.
Like in Mulakhas al-Fiqhi, the book of Mulakhas al-Fiqhi, that we do every Monday. Let's have that too. Now we're in Salat. After Salat, we're going to go to Zakat, and we're going to go to fasting and Hajj, and after that, you go to these things, to Mawarith, and if somebody died and he left this, and who takes what, and how you do it is math. You need to know some math. It's not difficult, but alhamdulillah. Al-Hadith 89 بعد المئة. The Hadith 189. عن سهل بن سعد الساعدي رضي الله عنه. أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا يزال الناس بخير ما عجلوا الفطر وأخروا السحور. Now from this hadith takes us to another topic. Okay, because these two narrations dealt with the deen. Now this hadith of Sahl ibn Sa'd al-Sa'idi رضي الله عنه that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said the people will continue to be upon good as long as they hasten to break the fast and they delay the suhoor. And they delay the suhoor. قال الشيخ رحمه الله الشارع الحكيم يحث على تمييز العبادة ووقتها عن غيره ليتبين النظام والطاعة في امتثال أوامره والوقوف بها عند حدودها. He says, the wisdom in what Allah has legislated. There is wisdom. Since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala incites us while performing actions of worship in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala legislates for us, so that act of worship will be distinguished from other than it. And by this, people will be obedient to what Allah has legislated. They show their obedience by adhering to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and by applying what Allah has legislated exactly as Allah commanded, whether in His book or in His sunnah or the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قال وليدا فإنه لما جعل غروب الشمس هو وقت إفطار الصائم حثه على مبادرة الفطر عند أول ذلك الوقت وأخبر أن الناس لا يزالون بخير ما عجلوا الفطر لأنهم بذلك يحافظون على السنة. He said, for this reason Allah made the sunset is the time to break the fast. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, he says, when you hear the sunset, it's not while the sun is setting. He says the sun has to completely set. He says if a person is watching the sunset and he can still see a portion of the sun didn't submerge entirely and gone, that person still fasting. SubhanAllah. It's important. But he has to set completely. He says, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this beautiful legislation of Islam has made the sunset the time to break the fast and incites us and encourages us to hasten into breaking the fast at the beginning of the time Once the sunset comes, you break your fast. And we are informed in this legislation of Islam that the people, they will remain upon good if they do this, as long as they hasten to break in the fast. Why? Because by doing this, they preserve the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. They preserve the sunnah, and everybody knows that this is the sunnah. Not some people add 1 minute, others add two, later on they add five, then it becomes a half an hour, and people start thinking, like, look, those who add 10 minutes, they wait, they're more strong, they're more men, and those who rush, they're weak. No, no, it's not about 10 minutes, it's about adhering to the sunnah. Okay? There's no aqal. They don't start thinking using their intellect, oh, look, those who rush and break the fast, they can't even wait. Look at them, subhanAllah. They were just waiting for food. Can't even wait 10 minutes. Show your men. No, no, no. You want to be a man? Follow the sunnah. Follow the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. It has nothing to do with this false ideas. And no. We are commanded to hasten to break the fast, and that's what we do. So you don't sit there, the sun set, and you're still talking. No, you got to break the fast. You can't just sit there and somebody says, break. Ah, it's okay, I'm so okay. Finishing this. Finish what? Even if you're working, you're a mechanic, you're an electrician, plumber, you're driving somewhere. Time of Maghrib, break the fast. So you can be from those people who apply the sunnah. Don't say, once I finish the oil change. No, stop. Break the fast. Drink something. Put a date in your mouth. So you can be from those people who apply the command of Allah. And then continue that, whatever you're doing, continue. Likewise, women too, they fall into this mistake a lot. Why? Because some women, they be rushing and continue to cook because time, and because they cook in a lot. And we already talked about that. This is not the month of food. This is the month of ibadah. All right? This is month of worship. Whatever, the little bit you can eat. Now, some women, they want to. And it's not because of the women. A lot of times has to do with the men. The husband, the father, the grandfather. Some women, Allah musta'an, she has a husband. And her father live with her. And grandfather is in there. Older brothers are there. And everybody has his favorite in Ramadan. Cook me some chicken, some fish, this, maqlooba, I don't know what. And she's alone, jungling this here. She don't even have enough spot on the stove. She's using the oven, the stove, microwave, she's cutting. Those men, where they at? I don't know, watching Manchester United or something. They, I don't know what they're doing. They're in some park playing soccer. Huh? And then they come half an hour before something. Is everything ready? Now the lady, she's still, I mean, this, and they still talking, criticizing. This is not right. And usually those women, what they do, Maghrib is in, but she's busy because she's still cooking. Because those men, they still, where is the food? And this woman now, she's still cooking, and she forget to break the fast. No, you break the fast. Even if you're still late, break the fast. Maghrib comes in, drink some water. You have a date, take some date, or if it's not, drink some water first, break the fast. So much so that Sheikh, the importance of this, Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned that if a person is stuck somewhere, and for example, driving in a car, and you're in the traffic, person going home or coming from work or going to work, or usually those who are going to work, they take with them breakfast, right? But let's say somebody coming home or coming to the masjid, and all of a sudden they're stuck in the traffic and they have nothing with them in the car, no water, no cake, nothing to be eaten, no drink, no food, nothing. And they can't get off, exit, and get something from a store. They stuck in the highway. All right? So Maghrib comes in. They have no food, no drink, nothing. What they do, these people?
Pray the fast by their
intention. Ahsant. Sheikh Al-Utaymin, he said they should have the intention in their heart. They broke the fast. They are not fasting anymore. Why? So they can be from those people who hasten to break the fast. They don't continue fasting after Maghrib. They don't continue. Now, at that moment, in his heart, he's not fasting anymore. So he can be from those people who have this, apply the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. But it's a good habit to have something with you. SubhanAllah, in Saudi Arabia, we spent a couple of Ramadans in there, alhamdulillah. It's amazing over there. Akhi, Allahu Akbar, may Allah bless those people. Everybody over there in Ramadan, they have a little box and they have bags. You know, Ziploc bag? They have that Ziploc bag. What's in it? A bottle of water, cold, and some dates. Cookies. And then these are the main ingredients. And others, they add stuff. Grapes, bananas, orange. Sometimes people put stuff over there, you don't know what it is. So, but that's from their customs, you know. And taxi driver, he has that. From Asr, right after Asr, if you catch any taxi driver, any cab, take me to the haram. As soon as you get in, he give you that bag. That's for you. It's for you. Akhi, the police stop you to give you a ticket? And he give you the ticket? He said, wait. He go to the trooper car and give you a bag that has food. Yes. It happened to me. Once I was going over there, coming from the airport. I wasn't given a ticket though. I was going from the airport from Jeddah in a cab. And to Mecca, we were in Ihram, and the driver, he was trying, and he was pulled over by the, the checkpoint. Akhi, in the checkpoint, these are the people, the police. They check people to see what's going on, and they're the one, and they have this box in there, and they're giving out iftars. They're working, they're in their job. They want khair. This man is working, he's at a checkpoint. I witnessed this, nobody tell me this. This is something that I saw with my own eyes. The man stopped us and said, who is this? The cab said, no, it's just this man, he's coming, you know, for Umrah. He said to me, Hayyak Allah, may Allah make this Umrah good for you and acceptable. And then he gave both of us a bag that have dates and juice. And SubhanAllah, it's amazing. Not to mention that in the masjid, the Prophet ﷺ masjid, you see what we do here in Ramadan? We lay down those plastics. The whole masjid is like that. The whole masjid. There is no space. It's time for the adhan. I will tell you after the adhan. I was saying, just sharing with you how is Ramadan in Medina. Beautiful. The masjid, subhanAllah, from Asr to Maghrib, it's amazing. Those spots, actually, by the way, just to share with you, that there is families that they do this. Because I was invited to break the fast with the Sheikh Mis'ad al-Husayni, hafidahullah. And he told me, he said, Muhammad, come. And I said, where, Sheikh? He said, he told me the area where it is. You know, the masjid is huge. If you don't know, you get lost. I said, okay, I know where it is, Sheikh. He's in the middle of the masjid. You see where the rawda, the green carpet? He's right there. Not on the green, but right of it. Meaning in the heart of the masjid. You have to walk for a long time from the gates, from the doors, to get there. But it's amazing. It's As soon as we were way far from the masjid, you find little kids, 6 years old, 5, 7, 8, 9, 10, they out there trying to get you to their, what do you call it, to their spot, so you can break the fast with them. Allah, yeah, it's, they hold you like this, come with us. I says, no, I'm invited. No, you come with us. Tomorrow you're invited over there. We got you now. I'm like, so, all right. Akhi, they hold you. They won't let you go until they put you there. And some of them, when you tell them, no, I'm invited, it's like, oh, yeah, you're invited. Why? They better than us. Why? We Muslim too. And you feel so bad, like, look at these people, yeah. They out there, they bring their children. Come, invite you so that you can sit there and eat. They compete in one another for good because they know this is the important, this is the month. So that's what we need to do, we learn these things. So much so that some students of now, they told me that actually some people, because what the, when you go over there, the family who has this spot, like, usually the spot is this, from this wall to that wall. That's all one spot for one family. And by the way, they says that some families, they have that spot for years. That they keep, that's the same spot every Ramadan. Nobody can take it from them. And they have their neighbors who they know each other for many years. That's all the same spot. And what they do, of course, foods and juices are not allowed. But they bring tea, coffee, a lot of dates. Oh, all kinds of dates. Oh, subhanAllah, some dates. And you're like, just, can I take the box to America, man? If you sell the box, they give it to you. They like, keep this for the people. After Maghrib, meet me outside. And yes, and if you meet them and go with them, they give you 2, 3 bucks, maybe more. No problem. They said, just leave this for the people that are here. Some students of now, they told me that some people, what they did, because they put water and yogurt too, a lot of yogurt. They put one yogurt, water, yogurt, water, dates, cookies. Some people, they were putting 1 riyal under the yogurts. So when the people, they see the money, especially the poor people, they will, number 15. Come tomorrow, so they can come and get the money again. But they told them, no, don't do that. It's not good. Yes, you can compete with one another, but not, don't bribe the people. And it's amazing, akhi, it's amazing. It's, and they do that on Mondays and Thursdays too. On Mondays and Thursdays, the whole haram. And they don't give them much time. 5, 7 minutes. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, the Iqamah. Fast. They all work. They know, they got experience. They clean that whole thing in no time. Akhi, when the Iqamah is called, you're like, where are we going to pray? Steal food. They have a team. Some grab the I don't know what. And then someone, and they vacuum too. And before you know it, everybody is praying at the same time. Wallahi, we've seen this. Yeah. You go to any place, you go to buy something, and they give you, this, and they give you, and this. Why are they doing this? Because they know this is the month of khair. So you gotta have this. You gotta have something with you. When you come for Maghrib, you bring something. You know, when you see who's gonna sponsor iftar, try your best. If you cannot do the whole iftar by yourself, at least give something towards that. Bring a box of water. Bring a box of oranges and keep it over there. Of bananas, some grapes. Do it for yourself. We do it for ourselves. Because if whoever eats from that, that's good for us. أي نعم بارك الله فيكم جزاكم الله خير وصلى الله وسلم على محمد على آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.